بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion. It's an opportunity for us to go back to basics. It's a chance to review things we may have learned in our earlier and younger days. And the program takes us through learning goals and how we can implement what we learn. With this huge array of knowledge and information out there, which is beautiful blessing from Allah, many of us get stuck at the point of acquiring that information. Now to turn that information into knowledge and to live for that knowledge and make that knowledge that nur in our lives is what is so important. Our topic today is on seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And our guest today, esteemed guest today, is Apa Fahima Bam. Apa Fahima is an educator at a Muslim school. She is an alima who completed at Madrasa Mu'in al-Islam in Zakaria Park, South Africa. And Mu'alima will be taking us through understanding more on seeking Allah's help. So if it's a topic you've learned, it's a great chance to review. You never know what you will take out from it. There's something we have forgotten. Or if it's the first time you're hearing this topic, and we know we have a lot of sisters who are new to Islam, who are reverts. We have those that are interested in Islam. We have educators. We have a vast array of listeners, different fields. Remember, set the intention to take khair and goodness from it, and you will derive that barakah, inshallah. So let's begin and let's welcome on board our guest today, Mu'allima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah so much for giving me the opportunity to be on your show. Apa, it's always an honor to collaborate with you, and I learn so much through these shows also, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, barakallahu feek. May Allah increase your knowledge, Mu'allima. Now, listeners, you know, you will remember that Mu'allima has been with us even the August edition when we talked about Ihsan. And that was a topic many of our listeners loved. We talked about Ihsan as a series, but the topic with Mu'allima in particular was one that our listeners derived a lot of benefit from. And the topic was Ihsan and worship. So if you'd like to play back on that, you can visit Radio Islam's website, the podcast, and just search Ihsan and Worship, and it will come up in your search feed. And you can listen back as Mu'allima discusses more on Ibadah and the topic of Ihsan. It's also a wonderful reminder, knowing that we are about 170-odd days away from the next Ramadan. So let's keep that in perspective. Mu'allima, take us through the beginning as we talk about seeking Allah's help. And let's start at the very beginning. What does the term, the Arabic term, isti'ana, mean, please?
Alhamdulillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But the word isti'ana, I think when we say it also, it's not commonly used. Many a time when we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and we speak about assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not specifically use the Arabic terminology, which is isti'ana. And this particular word means to seek the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a way of us relying solely on Allah. But if you go further into the word, if you have to break down the word in the Arabic context, it is also seeking assistance generally from others as well. And we know as Muslims, subhanAllah, even though we place all our trust on Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all our reliance on Allah, we have to love among the people. So from time to time, that isti'ana is also reverted to the reliance of each other, being helpful towards each other. But in saying that, we always first seek assistance from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than anybody else.
SubhanAllah. Beautiful. It's such a sacred... just has such a sacred sense to it all, subhanAllah. If we go to our primary source, our Qur'an Kareem, what does the Qur'an teach us, Mu'allima, about this topic of isti'ana?
SubhanAllah, Appa, if we have to just delve into this word, isti'ana itself, we find that on the very first page of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already introduces us to this. And those who are aware of the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, you are aware of that there's a portion of Surah Al-Fatiha where we actually saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you alone do we worship, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we seek our help from. What is so interesting is that if you have to delve into this particular ayat, there's so many things to derive. The first thing is that When we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in Surah Al-Fatiha, we actually say, you alone do we worship. So they say worship is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then we say, you alone do we ask for help. And many Mufassirin have gone on to mention that the reason why it is directly said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not using the pronoun his help we seek, or we seek the help of a certain person. We are actually telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. And we find in the very next surah, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah ta'ala even implores upon us, wasta'inu bisabri wa salah, like, seek your help through your salah, seek your help through patience. And that is also placing the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, when we say al-isti'ana, it's not just seeking assistance in religious affairs, but also seeking assistance in our worldly affairs, those affairs that we may seem to us as big or may seem as small. All affairs in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are equal in terms of weight and measurement. So seek assistance from Allah. In fact, there's a beautiful hadith in which Rasulullah said something to the effect that guard the limits of Allah and Allah will protect you. Ask of Allah, and if you seek help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. Allah will help you. And this is the beauty of it. We as Muslims, from the very first page of the Quran, like Appa mentioned, from the source, are told that seek your assistance with Allah. Put your reliance with Allah. Fawwadtu amri ila Allah. Like, make sure all your affairs, all your matters, they are turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the intended meaning, something that we should also realize, is that sincerely, this particular meaning that we should seek assistance from Allah is that we also do not commit shirk, which is so amazing, subhanAllah. Because many a time when we place our trust on insan, or we place our trust on our appliances, or we place our trust on things, we tend to forget that Allah is the giver, Allah is the one that provides, Allah is the one that protects, Allah is the one that can assist in every way. So in a nutshell, if we have to look at the Quran and if we have to look at the hadith, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has directed our attention to the one fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to assist us, to guide us, to protect us. And our reliance on Allah itself becomes a source of worship, because by relying on Allah, by seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in essence, we are actually fulfilling the laws of the Quran as well.
SubhanAllah. Malima mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this point, and if we could bring that back now in, as we turn our focus now to the seerah. So there would be many, but we'd love to hear from Malima an example of isti'ana from the seerah that stands out for you, please.
Appa, subhanAllah, I'm sure Appa is aware that if you go into the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ummuhatul Mu'mineen, there are so many incidents where we've seen their reliance and full trust placed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so many incidents that stood out for me, because the minute I heard the question, one of the first things I thought of was Aisha radiallahu anha. And I thought specifically of Aisha radiallahu anha and the ayat of Ifk, where unfortunately our beloved mother Aisha radiallahu anha was actually accused of something. And in that moment, instead of defending herself, she clearly said that I will turn to my Allah. And just like Allah gave respite and Allah Ta'ala cleared the name of Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah will clear my name. And this is exactly what she did. And she had to obviously have some sort of sabr in the moment, but Allah Ta'ala actually cleared the name of Aisha radiallahu anha, and all those people that accused her were actually left on the sideline to look in and say, look at this woman, subhanAllah, as young as she was, she put her full trust and her full reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the one incident. And then there are so many others. One of the more obvious incidents we always hear is of Badr, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin were 313 in number, and the Kufar, as we know, were 1,000 in number, and Muslims were the underdog, unfortunately. But on the eve of this particular battle, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resorted to making dua. And he made so much dua, and he turned his full reliance and his full attention to Allah. And we find that not only did Allah ta'ala send physical help, but Allah ta'ala even let the skies open up that the rains actually facilitated in the settlement for the Muslim army. And we know for a fact that had Badr been lost, the battle between good and evil would never have existed for us to turn around and say today, I have iman. Because there was a group of men that stood up against a bigger group and Allah Ta'ala gave them victory. So that's the second one. There's so many incidences. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, there's this one particular one. Because when we speak of isti'ana, I think what I fail to mention is that religiously there's a spiritual connection to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And sometimes we need assistance to keep that spirituality up. And during Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lifetime, there was a time where he had stopped for a while. And Nabi Sallam became very withdrawn. He became very sad. He felt as though Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had not turned his attention to him. And in that process, and this is actually from the tafsir of Surah Al-Duha, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting one day and got cut on his finger. And he looked at his finger and he said, oh finger, you are but a finger that got cut in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And he says, he addresses himself and says, Allah will reward you for whatever you go through. But then we find consequent ayahs in Surah Duha tell us of the praises that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued to do. He praised Allah profusely. And he exercised patience through his prayers, through his hamd, through his da'wah. And that was how he got through that difficult time. And that is also a form of isti'ana, where we seek the assistance of Allah, even though we are unsure of the consequences that may happen. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has left remarkable examples for us to derive from and to learn from. And sometimes it's good to not just speak about these incidents, but to ponder about these incidents, that how Allah sent that assistance. Sometimes the assistance came through an angel. Sometimes assistance came through wahi. Sometimes the assistance came through a friend or came through the army. But Allah Ta'ala made it such that victory came. And when it came, subhanAllah, we are left with this incident whereby we can reflect and actually take a page from the book of the Sahaba and the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhum ajma'in and our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And something that always stands out for me personally is that Allah never leaves us. In one particular hadith, it goes to the effect that Allah is as close as a person's jugular vein. So if Allah is so close to us, Allah never leaves us. We should, inshallah, turn our attention to Him through, just as our Nabi did. And Allah willing, we too will not only gain from the reliance and trust from Allah, but we will see it in our day-to-day life, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Anima, we turn inwards, we turn to ourselves, our own states. How does isti'ana treat the sicknesses of the heart, sicknesses like arrogance and pride?
SubhanAllah, I think this particular question is such a deep question. I mean, if we have to speak of pride, if we have to speak of arrogance, if we have to speak of any heart referred to malady or spiritual malady, it always resorts to the self. It always resorts to what the individual thinks at a particular time and how they look at the situation. And if we have to just go back to that incident of Surah Al-Duha, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam experienced a time of difficulty. Emotionally, it was a low. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never gave up on his Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And when it comes to pride, many of us forget that pride is only for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When anything happens, we, besides seeking the assistance of Allah, we should associate our victories and our goodness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Appa, if I may, I'm just going to refer to Fatah Makkah at this particular time. When Fatah Makkah took place, this is something so beautiful to learn from. When Fatah Makkah took place, our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went in with the Sahaba to Makkah. And as we know, there was no bloodshed. There was no war. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went straight to the Ka'batullah, reading ayat. He pulled off these various idols that were actually situated in the Ka'batullah. And it is said that after that, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba resorted to praying to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And if you read the text of Sirah, you read the text of history, you find that the reason this happened is because it's so amazing, right? Whenever a war transpires, the victors will come into a city. And to show that they have won, the first thing they will do is remove all particular memorabilia to show of the previous regime, but not in the case of the Muslims. Then they will have a banquet, a lavish banquet to show how successful they were, but not in the case of the Muslims. And they will go on to actually make the population's life a bit difficult, because now they want to obviously put their foot in the door in this new place. But when it came to Fath Makkah, Rasulullah and the Sahaba did none of this. And the people have mentioned, the ulama have actually mentioned that the reason why this was done was because they wanted the people to know that even victory comes from Allah. So instead of celebrating in a way where there was pomp and in a way where there was a lot of partying, etc., they resorted to Salah. And when people came up to them and accepted Islam, they said, Islam is for everyone. And they welcomed them in. And this is a very great lesson, first thing, is the Anna seeking the help of Allah. Because it is only through Allah's will and through Allah's help that finally, alhamdulillah, the Muslims had achieved victory. But at the same time, it's also something for us to learn that if we achieve certain goals in life, if we reach the pinnacle where we had targeted, inshallah, we should always, instead of boasting about it, realize that we could not have done it without the help of Allah. Realize that we could not have achieved what we achieved without Allah Ta'ala's mercy. I mean, intelligence, for example, many people have. But who gave them that intelligence? Allah did. And in moments where they feel they are lapsing in memory or thoughts, who do they turn to? They turn to Allah. This is why also in the beginning when we spoke of Surah Al-Fatiha and we said this particular ayat, where we actually turn to Allah and we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Allah, only you we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And your assistance, we seek. Your assistance. And this is something that we should always reflect on. So when it comes to things like our emotions, our pride, our arrogance, you know, unfortunately we are human and we can slip up from time to time. But when we are having that self-reflection, we should make tawbah and realize that everything is from Allah. Every good is from Allah. And in that moment of achieving something, we should revert it, that it's only through the will of Allah I have achieved such and such things.
SubhanAllah, so true and so humbling, so much for us to ponder and to reflect on. Listeners, the program will be up on podcast, so you can always play back on it, make notes, get down to some reflection on it, and look at your way forward of how you're going to implement this inshallah. As always, Mu'allima, you give us so much to reflect on and ponder on. May Allah bless you and increase you in knowledge and goodness. Ameen. We usually ask our guests to share with us their nasiha on a general topic. It could be any topic that you feel we need to address, anything that's close to your heart. What would Mu'allima like to give us nasiha on today, please?
SubhanAllah. Mu'allima always asks this question. Apa always asks this question and I'm usually tongue-tied. I think I can only give from what current, alhamdulillah, around me, and that is our concern for our youth. If there are any parents out there, bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name in conversation. Many of us are watching our children grow up, and their reliance on their dunya is so much. Children, subhanAllah, do get carried away. They are, after all, only human. And they get carried away by celebrity statuses. They get carried away by influencers. They get carried away by fashion, fads, trends, etc. Somewhere along the line, as parents crown them, take time out and speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make them realize that no matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah is a difficult one, because Allah can fulfill every need of ours, immaterial what it is. Another thing also is that while we are educating our children, we want them to excel in the dunya. Remember, dunya is the near future. It is something that is limited. It is something that is temporary. It's something that's going to have a cutoff. But the akhirah is the future that we really have to work towards, especially when it comes to our children. So whilst we are giving them dunya, give them and don't hold back also in benefiting them. But likewise, give them of the akhirah and don't hold back in benefiting them, and speak of Allah, because it says the more you speak of something, the more it becomes a part of you. And we know the hadith, so the Arabic saying goes something to the fact that takarrara, the more something is mentioned, the more it's engraved and etched on a person. So if we are going to mention of Allah, it's going to fall on our children. For example, if a child is doing a test at school, and this goes with our topic of isti'ana as well. Whilst the child will put the study time in, remind the child, read your surah Qaf, Salatul Hajjat, ask Allah Ta'ala to make this test easy for you, ask Allah Ta'ala to build your confidence, and remind them that after they've completed their task, to turn to Allah as well. Another example is to give out sadaqah and do so for the pleasure of Allah. Because it is something that we should also note for ourselves. This is dunya well past, but akhirah is eternal. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, right now, that's like the one thing that sits on me all the time. Educate our youth on Allah. Speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speak of Allah often and speak positively about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can also be etched and imbibed in the hearts of our children, inshallah.
SubhanAllah, beautiful, beautiful advice. I think we often hear that, we're told or hear that keep our children on the deen, and we know that. But here you're giving us really practical ideas, you know, mention Allah's name to your children. Because in many homes, the name of Allah is not mentioned. Or parents are praying and children or some are not praying, or everyone doing their own thing. But here collectively, talk about Allah, mention Allah, praise Allah, thank Him, glorify Him, worship Him together. And I think you mentioned something so pertinent, as we now will soon be going into the exam season as well. You know, that's a beautiful way to get our children also to turn to Allah. So may Allah make it easy for all parents and youth, and especially those parents, whose youth have left the deen, or who have lost their Islamic identity. May Allah bring them back and give their parents and their teachers and their communities and mentors the guidance to help them bring them back to the path. And may Allah keep their hearts alive, Iman, because this is a tremendous fikr for the ummah everywhere in the world, for our youth to hold on to their deen. And mashallah, many of our youth have beautiful names of sahabas and sahabiyas, amazing names. At some point, we as the older generation have failed them, and we ask Allah to forgive us for that and to help us as teachers, as parents, as caregivers, as the ummah, to bring our children back to the deen, and to bring that next generation closer to Allah than we have been, and to forgive us, inshallah. Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Mu'allima, for sharing with us more on this beautiful and sacred topic, helping us understand what this term means and what the Quran teaches us about it, and of course giving us these awe-inspiring examples from the Sunnah. And Jazakumullah for this nasiha, so that we can take from this and implement it and make our lives richer, so we don't just have information, but we have knowledge that is nur, inshallah. Nur for us in this dunya and in our qabr and in our akhirah as well, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. JazakAllah so much for having me on the show. Like I say, it's such an honor, such a mercy, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
May Allah is all of ours. Ours. Barakallahu feek. The honor is ours. May Allah bless you, your family, your students, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to the opportunity with the barakah of time to meet you again on another program, and for you to inspire and guide us, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We've been speaking to Mu'allima Fahima Ba. Mu'allima is an educator at a Muslim school and an alima who completed at Madrasa Mu'inul Islam, Zakaria Park, South Africa. Our topic today, seeking Allah's help. You can always play back to the podcast to make notes and reflections from this powerful interview. More coming up after this break. Do stay with us. Alhamdulillah, and welcome to our second segment of this hour. Before the break, we heard from our esteemed guest today. Our guest was Mu'allima Fahima Bam, and Mu'allima took us through the topic of seeking Allah's help. What is isti'ana? What does the Quran teach us about it? What do we learn from the seerah about the topic of isti'ana? And how does isti'ana treat sicknesses of the heart like arrogance and pride? Finally, Mu'allima shared some amazing, beautiful, beautiful nasiha about the youth, about our children, about the next generation, and teaching them about Allah, mentioning Allah amongst them. So please pay back on the interview if you have missed it. We continue with our program for today, inshallah. And our reflection takes us to Surah An-Nur. Surah Nur, Ayah 52, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and the translation of which is, "And he who obeys Allah and his Rasul, and fears Allah, and is careful of his duty to Allah, these it is that are the achievers." So in Ayah 52 of Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you and I that whoever is watchful towards Allah's boundaries, that person, those people, will be under Allah's watchful care and under Allah's protection, inshallah. So is there anyone who has achieved closeness to Allah and not found that with Allah is everything they desire? Allahu Akbar. No one has attained success except this falah, except by going against the ego desires. And no one has suffered failure except by preferring this dunya over the akhirah. And so our duty, our responsibility, our job and mission is to learn to starve our egos and to feed our souls, not just in Ramadan, but throughout the year. To be amongst the achievers, to be amongst the successful believers, to be amongst the inheritors of paradise, everything needs a beginning first. And slowly and steadily, we will work towards achieving more closeness to our Creator and find our inner peace. So to do that, to get closer to Allah, to find that inner peace, it is for us to build our connection with our Rabb. We do that through heartful dua and loads of dhikr, with punctual salah, with regular charity, with good deeds, and with patience. And when you talk to Allah, open your heart, cry to Him, your Rabb is the most responsive. One of the beautiful names, divine names, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, that is Allah's name, is Al-Mujib. In Arabic, we understand Al-Mujib to be such that Allah it explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds even before we get to ask, Ya Rabb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Khabir, the aware. He is the maker of our hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows what we are going to tell Him. But subhanallah, He is our Rabb, our nurturer, and He still listens to us. Allah grants us that peace after our sincere du'as. Allah increases us in our tawakkul. We've seen it in our lives, haven't we? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive each one of us. May Allah grant us whatever is best for us. May Allah make us and our progeny from amongst the achievers, the successful believers. And may He shower His blessings on each one of us with lots of afiyah and khair and barakah. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Today we continue with our series, and it is a review of the Asma'ul Husna, of the divine, beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do this so that we can be reminded of the greatness of Allah, of His mercy, His power, His magnificence. We can be reminded of all His divine, beautiful attributes. We review, we summarize, we revise these beautiful names and what we know about it in our human limited comprehension and understanding, so that our hearts are watered with the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that our love and obedience and reverence to Allah deepens and strengthens. Today we continue as we learn more about our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah fill our hearts with love. And may Allah fill our hearts with the reminders of His mercy, of His kindness, of His forgiveness. May Allah fill our hearts with this comfort. Ameen. Today, inshallah, the divine name that we are looking at is As-Samad. Now, many of us know this name from Surah Al-Ikhlas, right? Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. And we hear and we read in that surah the name As-Samad. So let's learn more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine attribute of being the eternal refuge. Sometimes we just don't know where to turn. We have needs and we also have aspirations and wants and hopes. We may get confused. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to. Sometimes we need shelter from the storms in life. Sometimes we're going through something and we've spoken to the people closest to us, the people that know us so well, the people that we trust and they trust us, the people that we respect and they respect us, the people that know us almost as best as we know ourselves, right? Or we speak to professionals and still we feel, I need support. I need shelter in the storm of life. And who is it that can truly only give that shelter of that storm, from that storm? It is Allah, As-Samad, the Eternal. Some names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contain meanings that acknowledge other attributes. For example, when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mujib, the one who responds, it is implicit that Allah is As-Sami'a, the all-hearing, Al-Basir, the all-seeing, Al-Qawi, the strong. Now, other names seem to be very similar in meaning, but the context reveals the nuances. So, for example, Al-Ghafoor, the forgiving, and At-Tawwab, the one who accepts repentance. They both have to do with repentance. Al-Ghafoor refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covering up our sins and forgiving the sin. Whereas Tawwab is more. He is the one that accepts the servant when he turns back. He listens to our excuses and reasons and still accepts us. The name we are discussing today is similar in that regard. As-Samad has many meanings, but what it is important for us to know is how we relate to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. About the name As-Samad, Imam Al-Ghazali said, "The one to whom one turns to in need and the one whom one is intended in our desires for ultimate dominion culminates in him, subhanahu wa ta'ala." In the dictionary, Samad is defined as the eternal, to remain unaffected or unchanged, to intend or turn to, something that is solid, no holes, no emptiness inside, and the ultimate master who is obeyed. We say sumud from the same root, samada, which is to remain firm and steadfast. Ali radiallahu anhu said, "So stay firm, stay firm. Samdan, for samdan, samdan. Hatta, so that you may reach the pillars, umud al-haq, you may reach the pillars of truth." This was a statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, "So stay firm, samdan, so that you may reach the pillars of truth." And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who we turn to for both our needs and desires, and who is our ultimate goal, because fundamentally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the eternal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the refuge. He is the one who remains firm and unchanged. So who else can we turn to? And as we mentioned earlier, this divine name is As-Samad is mentioned once in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ikhlas, we recite, Allahu As-Samad, Ayat 2. Allah, the eternal refuge. So let's look at Surah Al-Ikhlas briefly now here. This gives us an understanding and an appreciation and a love for the surah and for the divine name as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge and understanding and love. Ameen. So Surah Al-Ikhlas was revealed when the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to describe to them his Lord. And Surah Ikhlas answers their questions and tells them about Allah. So when the people of Mecca were being told who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, his being As-Samad was mentioned. So take a moment to think, why would this be mentioned out of all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes? Because essentially, what you and I need to know is that Allah is one and unique, ahad, and also that He is As-Samad, the eternal refuge, the one who is our means and our end. We go to Him for our desires, but we also ultimately desire Him. This is sincerity, this is ikhlas. And so we learn in Sahih Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said words to the effect that Surah Al-Ikhlas is equal to a third of the Quran. And so the ulama teach us that if you want to know Allah, Surah Al-Ikhlas summarizes Allah's actions. So knowing that Allah is As-Samad is crucial. Now we all have hopes, right? Marriage, rizq, good kids, peace of mind. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. We turn to Him in good and bad, for needs, for desires. And don't think that the one who has named himself As-Samad will let you down. No. What happened at Ta'if when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to seek refuge with the people and they pelted him with rocks in return? So he turned to Allah As-Samad for his needs. And what did he say in that dua of Ta'if? If you are not angry with me, فَلَنْ أُبَالِي, I do not care. Rasulullah said, only that your favor is a more expansive relief for me. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinah al-Munawwara for the Sahaba, they were not used to the conditions there, and many of them, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, fell ill. Bilal radiallahu anhu even recited poetry about returning to the valley of Mecca. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Allah for that need. And indeed, Madinah became as beloved as Mecca, if not more. When you and I think of dua, we tend to think of material, physical things that we need. I want a house, I want a car, I want a job, I want to be healthy. So we ask Al-Mujib, the one who responds to his servants. But As-Samad is slightly different because you turn to him with all the needs of your heart, your body, your soul. And you can, because As-Samad is unshakable, Allah. You can be confident and assured, because the one you are turning to is the Master, and He is unaffected by the changes around us. Zawajal. Allahu Akbar. There are many, many hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that encourage us to turn to Allah for our needs, and Mu'allim has shared with us as well. There's a beautiful verse of poetry that reads like this. Do not ask the son of Adam for your needs, but ask the one whose doors do not close. Allah is angry when you do not ask. And the son of Adam, if asked, is angry. Allahu Akbar. We need both dunya and akhirah. So when we need to ask, we ask of Allah for both of them. So how do we live in the light of these divine names? Firstly, go to Allah with your every single need. Rely on Him. Don't ever think that a need or a want is too small or too great for Allah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, go to Him. Go to Allah as-Samad, even if the strap of your sandal breaks. And secondly, be there for people. Allow them to turn to you and offer them your help. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the best of people are those that bring most benefit to the rest of mankind. And if Allah wants good for a person, then He uses him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I the servants of As-Samad. May Allah make us those people who seek His help and His help alone. May Allah strengthen us in our iman. May Allah beautify our characters. May Allah enlighten our hearts and souls. May Allah guide us in all our decisions we need to make in this dunya. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. That brings us to the end of this week's program. May Allah put barakah in your day, in your time, in your learning, and in your application of any khair you have learned today. Join us again next week as we continue this journey of reviving and putting the wheels in motion so we can revive our iman and we can live the Islamic lifestyle. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.